Hello, listeners, and welcome to the latest episode of the Arkansas Shrimp Tank, brought to you from the BRS Consulting Studios right here in Little Rock. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, sitting here with my co-host, David Sims. We're going to interview the brightest and best entrepreneurs in and around the state of Arkansas about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and running a successful business. This podcast is where book smarts and street smarts collide, so hopefully you'll be getting an MBA in entrepreneurship today. We want to remind our listeners that the Shrimp Tank is now nationally syndicated on iHeartRadio, and you can download all of our shows from iHeart, iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. So, David, after all that introduction.
Yeah, man. How you
how's
doing,
your week
buddy?
Been?
Good. Good to be here. I'm really glad we've got Jeff back for podcast number three. Getting more repetitions with this.
And, he's learning how to swim with the sharks.
That's right. That's
first
right.
one, you swim with the shrimp. Then you swim with the jumbo shrimp.
And, I was thinking about it. Thinking about it yesterday was great. You know, I was, you know, Matt, I was the only one in the office. Matt was here for the beginning. You guys were out somewhere. I don't know.
I started from home, huh?
Then I started thinking about it. Man, this is going to be really great. I'm looking forward to you guys being in California for the next 10 days, too, you know?
Yeah, no one will be in the office.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Matt.
That's right. There's nobody.
I'm going to tell Matt to keep tabs on you.
The only vacation you look forward to more than your own.
That's right.
My day starts out great on Wednesdays because everybody's out doing stuff, and then they all show up and that goes down.
But I've really been looking forward to having Jeff Standridge back on the actually Dr. Jeff Standridge back on the show for our third one, and just having more repetitions on this because I think you're going to be a great guest.
Thank you.
That's particularly, you know, the connecting piece with University of Central Arkansas, which we love. We got a summa cum laude magnus opus graduate from UCA.
Keep going.
You sound like a bottle of champagne.
That's right. Yeah, our producer here graduated from there. I've got two out of my eight kids are graduates from UCA. And just have
I've got three out of three kids.
I mean, it's just an amazing, great school.
Go Bears.
Yeah,
there
great
you go.
School. So anyway, let me just jump in and do a brief intro. Jeff, thanks for being on the show again. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to totally reintroduce you because we did that on the first podcast, so they can go back and listen to that. But I do want to highlight a few things about your experience with business startups, both personally and academically, because it ties into the topic of our show today, which is the Lean Canvas for Business Startups, which promises an actionable and entrepreneur-focused business plan. And that's what the show is all about. And I think we're going to go a deep dive on that. But again, for our listeners, Jeff Standridge has a doctorate in education. He's an investor, entrepreneur consultant. He's the chief catalyst for the conductor, the Arkansas Conductor, co-founder of Cadron. Cadron Capital Partners, and teaches entrepreneurial and small business finance to undergraduates and graduates at the University of Central Arkansas. So, Jeff, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the United States. I understand you're just back from Jamaica.
I am,
Mon. Looks like it with that growth there.
Yeah, thank you, Mon.
Thank you, Mon.
Got a little scaling happening on my face here.
So you're no longer a flight risk. You're back in country.
That's right.
Yeah, great to have you back on the show.
Good to be here.
Jeff, you know, David spent a little more time digging through the websites and stuff about the Lean Canvas. So for me and all our listeners, tell us a little bit the origin of the Lean Canvas.
So the Lean Canvas is actually probably, I'd say, a second or third iteration of what started as a business model canvas. There was kind of a movement converging among three or four different folks at about the same time. Alexander Osterwalder wrote a book called Business Models, followed by Eric Ries, who wrote The Lean Startup. And that kind of took the principles of lean, which Toyota made famous over the years, lean manufacturing and just lean thinking, which is about eliminating waste. And then along came a guy by the name of Steve Blank. And Steve Blank wrote a couple of books. One was the startup, Startup Owner's Manual or something like that, and then one called what he called the Four Steps to the Epiphany, and where he was talking about the value of customer discovery, customer development, and what have you in de-risking your business. And he created what was called a business model canvas, which was the precursor to the Lean Canvas. Some people still use the business model canvas today. And then a gentleman by the name of Ash Maurya came along and wrote a book called Running Lean, and he took kind of all of that collective work and really wrote a book about another iteration of the business model canvas, which he called the Lean Canvas. And it's really been the one that most of the entrepreneurial ecosystems have evolved to in terms of using with startup companies. It has really become kind of the seminal homework that I give to every entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur who comes in to talk about, hey, I have an idea.
And how did you discover it? Did you read his Osterwalder's book?
I've read Osterwalder's book, Running Lean. I've read all of those books, by the way. Mm-hmm. I have studied all of those gentlemen and continue to reference various aspects of their work throughout my daily life now.
That's right. You are a doctor.
A doctor.
So you must do that research.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I am a recovering academic.
That's right. So, and before we got on the show, you mentioned that at a particular website, is it the Arkansas Conductor?
Yeah, arconductor.org. Yeah. Right. If you go to the navigation bar at the top and you click on Get Involved, a drop-down box occurs. There's one called Resources. And then there you will find a litany of Lean Canvas resources, including the books that I've mentioned, some videos from those authors, some actual downloadable copies of the Lean Canvas that are fully writable, one of which is a PDF version, a writable PDF, one of which is a PowerPoint version, and then a couple of instructional examples as well.
Great, great. And you said there's a video by Ash Maria.
There's actually a video by Ash Maria. And one could go to YouTube and search on Ash Maria, and that's M-A-U-R-Y-A, Ash Maria, or Steve Blank, and could search on Lean Canvas Ash Maria or Customer Discovery Steve Blank and find a number of very valuable instructional videos. Yeah.
So in a nutshell, what's the difference between the Lean Canvas and the Business Model Canvas by
By Steve Blank. Yeah, so the difference really is the format and the focus. So one of the problems that many entrepreneurs have is they fall in love with their idea. They don't fall in love with the business problem they're trying to solve. And I've seen that over and over and over and over. 36%, I believe we mentioned this in one of our previous podcasts, is that 36% of all new startups fail because they create a product or service that no one wants. And if you really kind of expand that out, not enough people will buy it at the price required to produce a sustainable, profitable business.
Right.
And they could have prevented that by de-risking their business on the front end.
Right.
Really figuring out what's the business problem we're trying to solve, who experiences that business problem to the greatest degrees, and would they say, do they recognize that they have that problem?
Right.
And if in doing so, would they actually pay for a solution?
Yeah.
And so the Lean Canvas kind of walks one through the process of doing that, and it actually starts with the business problem, where the Business Model Canvas had a little bit of a different focus, even though it had some of the same. There's a big overlap. But Ash Maria really boiled it down into talking about, in fact, the subtitle of his book is Iterating from Plan A to a Plan That Works. Mm-hmm. And it's about rapid iteration and reiteration, but a lot of what we call customer discovery or customer development to actually validate before you implement.
Right, right.
So walk me through this a little bit. How does the Lean Canvas, say I'm an entrepreneur, how is this going to help me identify problems, solutions, the key metrics, and the competitive advantages?
Sure. So basically by giving you a process and a process that says, hey, let's start with the business problem you're trying to solve. And I do this with entrepreneurs. I'll say, look, I'll give them a copy of the Lean Canvas, and I'll say, don't worry about all 9 boxes on the Lean Canvas. And there are 9 boxes on that Lean Canvas. I'll say, start with boxes number 1 and 2. What's the problem you're trying to solve, or at least the top 3 iterations of that problem? And then who are the major customer segments that experience that problem? And once you do that, then I want you to go out there and I want you to craft and we talk them through crafting of an interview protocol to go out and talk to those customer segments, but to do so in a way that doesn't bias them, create confirmation bias, so that it just biases them to the confirmation that you're trying to gain.
Right.
And so there's another resource out there actually on our website, and it's called Talking to Humans, and it's a small booklet. It's a 75 or 80 page book by a guy by the name of Giff Constable, G-I-F-F Constable. And it really is about, if you think about just the title, Talking to Humans, from where that comes is many software developers, many engineers, folks who are of the engineering mindset, they get an idea, they go into a room, they bang out 80 hours of code, and they've got this really elegant solution that they can't figure out why no one will adopt or use, and it's because they didn't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. They developed it based upon this idea that they had. And so we like to talk about, and Steve Blank actually refers to this statement, there are no facts inside the building. There are only assumptions and opinions. And so to validate or invalidate your assumptions and opinions, you need to get outside the office and talk to real humans, and not just any humans, but humans who will who experience the problem that you're trying to solve. Mm-hmm. Preferably people that don't know you. So
right.
That way they can't say, that's a great idea, son.
Right.
Or honey.
Right.
And so getting out, really identifying the problem, the target customers or the customer segments that experience that problem, but then crafting a carefully crafted interview protocol that asks open-ended questions, being very careful not to bias the interviewee to the result that you would like for them to provide or the answer you'd like for them to provide. Because, you know, we say that even invalidation is success.
Right.
Because if my idea is invalidated, if my view of what I think is a business problem, it happens to be invalidated by those that I identify as the target customers, then that means I find that out before I sink my life savings in it to try to build a business model around an unsustainable problem. Right. I've said now that there's a difference between a problem and a nuisance. A real business problem people will pay to have solved. They'll pay a certain amount of money to have it solved, whereas a nuisance, they will gripe and complain about it, but they may not or usually are not willing to pay to have, or not enough people are willing to pay to have it solved. And so that's where entrepreneurs can sometimes get a little bit misguided as they're out there trying to solve what they see as a problem, but it's not a big enough problem. It's more of a nuisance.
Yeah, yeah. So let's drill down a little bit on some business critical thinking along those lines. So use your teaching format to graduates and undergraduates at the University of Central Arkansas on how you teach the Lean Canvas for them to hook them, to get them to look at the book or whatever the academic thing, resources they have, and then for them to study it and apply it. And then take it and make it work.
Well, so the first thing that I do is I require it as one of their contract terms. And we've talked before in a previous podcast that I grade on a contract basis, where they contract with me for the grade that they want to receive. And in doing so, all of them have to complete it. Certainly for an A or a B, they have to complete a Lean Canvas on a real business idea that they have, and they have to present that to the class.
Right.
And so for them to be able to do that, then they have to go through the process and they have to go through the steps of actually completing the Lean Canvas in a manner that would withstand questioning by me and others in front of a room of 41 other people. And so there's a little bit of pressure on them in that regard.
Yeah.
And so I teach the Lean Canvas. I point them to the resources. I actually show the video there in the class, them with their Lean Canvases available. And I also tell them, and one of the really valuable things about the Innovation Entrepreneurship Program at University of Central Arkansas is that most of them, by the time they come to my class, they are seniors or MBA students, they already have a business idea that they've been working on. And so they've done some components of the Lean Canvas, not always, but usually.
Right.
And so I allow them to... I'm big about not having busy work. So I don't make them create something anew just because it's my class. If it's something you've been working on for three semesters, then let's take it and use this as an opportunity to flesh it out, because I would love nothing more for them to walk out of my class, graduate that semester or the following semester, and then launch their business before or after.
Right, right.
That actually brings me to what was my next question, which is how many percentage-wise tend to abandon it, their idea, after going through the Lean Canvas? And then how many do you see actually take it out and actually start implementing their business idea?
Well,
and I assume they go either way. They do it with a lot more confidence, either abandon it or pursue it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, many of them, we're still working on this culture of When I graduate college, I have to go get a 40-hour week, 45-hour week job.
Right. Right.
When in reality, the best time to start a business is when you're used to eating ramen noodles and Fruit Loops.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and don't change your lifestyle when you graduate. Right. Go start a business and try to get it off the ground, and you will probably experience fewer risks than you have when you're actually graduating college. But we're still fighting against that. Right. I did have a student who presented her Lean Canvas in class, and it was not for a scalable, technology-oriented business. Some of them are very simple types of businesses. And she did and actually pitched that idea at a pitch competition and won $1,000a few weeks later.
That's cool.
So maybe that's the start of what – whether it's that business idea or it's another one. I had a gentleman who is an MBA student, and he did something different for his Lean Canvas. He actually took an existing business that he and his wife had already, and he used the Lean Canvas to pivot their business somewhat. And I want to make sure we understand that as well. The Lean Canvas is not just for startups, even though it might have been created there. I use the Lean Canvas and or variations of the Lean Canvas for what I would call corporate innovation or organizational innovation as well. Maybe we can touch on that later. Mm-hmm. But he actually came to me, and so he used that Lean Canvas to pivot his family business that they earn a variety of, or the vast majority of their income from. But he emailed me the other day, and he said, "Hey, I was thinking about starting a little business doing so-and-so because I think there's a need for that." That was his response to me, or his reach out to me by email. He said, "What do you think about that?" And I said, "Well, I know what I think about it, but I'm not sure whether what I think about it is accurate or not. Why don't you use your Lean Canvas?" And he was like, "Yeah, you're right. Why don't I do that?"
Yeah.
And so
glad to know what you taught him sunk in.
and so he's now in the process. He's using that Lean Canvas to actually flesh out another potential business idea.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I was doing the script on this and doing some research, and we've got something that we're doing. Gordon and Rich and I, our producer, and Rich, the host here, for our listeners. And I said, "Well, gosh, I can go there and look at it." And I actually went through it on this thing. We just had a meeting last week. We've been talking about it. We've been actually working on it since about July last year. And we're getting to the point where
the beauty is he sent it to me. I didn't know he was found this thing, and he sends it to me, and I go, "This is fantastic," because I was talking about when I was with a Fortune 100 company and we were going public, and we just had a facilitator come in and take the 2-foot by 3-foot post-it notes and stick them all over the wall as we were doing all this. And I told David, I said, "We need something like that." And then he sends me this thing, and it's exactly, but it's on your laptop.
But we were literally in a meeting last week, and we were just kind of groping, and I just wrestled with it all weekend. And it was the catalyst for this thing was this morning.
Excellent.
Preparing for your show.
Happy to help.
Yeah.
I'll send you an invoice.
So yeah, thank you very much. So real quick, just business critical thinking again. Walk through the steps of the Lean Canvas.
So if you look at the Lean Canvas, and if it's okay, I'll just run through the nine boxes that are there. You know, number one, and we traditionally in the United States, we read from left to right. And so the way those boxes are lined out from left to right are not necessarily the way that we recommend that they actually be completed. We like to talk about completing them from the outside in. And so I'll read you the order in which we recommend, and it comes directly from Ash Marius' book. Is number one, what are the top three problems that you're trying to solve, or the variations of the problem that you're trying to solve? Number two, who are the customer segments or the target customers that actually experience that problem? Number three is, what is your unique value proposition? Why are you uniquely positioned to solve this problem? Single, clear, compelling message that states why you are different.
Right.
Number four is, okay, now, number one is, one and two, go validate and spend some time validating that you've got the right problem and that the target customers would agree that that's a problem. And then number four is, okay, what's your solution? And maybe outline that in terms of the top two or three features of that solution. Number five is, how are you going to actually gain access to your target customers that you identified, your channels or your path to your customers? Six is, what's your revenue model, your revenue streams, the lifetime value, you know, gross margins that are necessary, whatever those revenue metrics are.
Right.
Number seven is, okay, if that's how you're going to get to your target customers and how you're going to generate revenue, what's it going to cost you to produce and distribute?
Right.
Number eight is, what key metrics will you, or key activities will you measure on a regular basis to ensure that you're making the progress that you need? And then number nine is, what gives you that unfair advantage or that competitive moat that someone can't easily copy, replicate, steal, or what have you.
Yeah.
And so those nine boxes constitute the entire Lean Canvas. And I like to talk them through just that. What's the problem you're trying to solve and who experiences the problems? Now stop and go out and do some validation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. We run a health sciences entrepreneurship boot camp. In fact, it's coming up May 19th, I believe it is, through 24th. And it's for college juniors and seniors or immediate postgraduates. Anybody who's interested in health sciences or entrepreneurship or any combination thereof, we put them through a week-long residency camp. They come and they stay on campus. And we start Sunday night and we finish at noon or 1 o'clock on Friday. On Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all they're focused on is the problem and the target customers. That's it. Hmm. And then Thursday, we actually release them into the healthcare setting with some subject matter experts to actually validate. They come back, they take that validation, they refine their problem statement, and then Thursday at about dinner time, they actually get to start working on their solution for presentation starting at 9 o'clock on Friday morning. So my point is we spend Sunday night till Thursday evening really focused on the problem and the customers so that they can de-risk the idea before they start worrying about their solution. Yeah. We are so solution or idea oriented that we all try to jump to the idea or jump to the solution and start trying to do product design and packaging before we've ever really fleshed out what's the business problem we're trying to solve.
Wow. That's
good. And so we talk about de-risking the business and using data. I've taken this Lean Canvas approach and I've kind of boiled it down into six or seven steps that I like to use for any type of innovation exercise. And I've done this with hospital leadership teams, with college faculty, with a number of others, nonprofits, where I say, number one, you know, what's the business problem you're trying to solve? Mm-hmm. Stated in 12 to 15 clear, crisp, concise words. Maybe some issues that arise from that problem. Mm-hmm. Number two, who are the target customers or the key stakeholders? Mm-hmm. Same concept, but may use different terminology depending on the setting. What's some quantitative evidence that the problem exists, or some what I call credible facts and statistics? So if you can't identify three or four credible facts or statistics that quantitatively substantiate the problem, then maybe your problem's not defined clearly enough.
Mm.
After the credible facts and statistics, what's your stakeholder feedback or your qualitative validation? You actually go out and talk to some of those stakeholders and validate qualitatively that they experience the problem in the manner that you've defined it. And then after you do that, then you start and you get all of that validated, then you start working on your solution. And what I've done is I've taken that model. I call them, I refer to those as the vital elements of innovation. And that kind of outline is what I use with my innovation leadership class that I'm teaching at UCA right now, and what I use in most of my corporate innovation engagements is I'll boil it down. It really is based in the Lean Canvas, but I'll boil it down to kind of those six or seven steps.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know you're going to take them back to that Lean Canvas.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. For the business model around it and what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of taking this real down to practical, since you've been working with students, is there like a number one skill or characteristic that you found the ones that actually take it and do something with it or successful in their, what is it? Is it a curiosity?
Right.
Give us a
jumbo shrimp, man. Yeah.
It's interesting. My colleague and business partner, Jeff Amerine with Startup Junkie, and I have observed that people who come from the healthcare disciplines, nurses, paramedics, those kinds of folks, without knowing it, have a very savvy set of entrepreneurial skills, innovation skills particularly.
Hmm.
And we've kind of distilled and boiled it down to the ability to triage, the ability to kind of differentially diagnose but be willing to step away from your assumptions and make your decisions based upon a systematic assessment of a patient.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of the same thing we're doing here. In fact, I had one of our health sciences entrepreneurship boot camp students actually say in his feedback, he said, really what I did here is I took the scientific method that I learned in the seventh grade and I'm applying it to entrepreneurship.
Interesting.
State your assumptions, validate your assumptions or invalidate your assumptions, restate your assumptions, validate or invalidate, you know, et cetera.
Right. Yeah.
And so we just use a combination of both quantitative and qualitative evidence to validate those assumptions.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a really good jumbo shrimp on that one. And I'm trying to think, and I think you've already, my next question was going to be, is the lean canvas the first step? But I think I've already just answered the question. It's not the first step, really. It's
the first two steps of the lean canvas are the
right.
first steps.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually beating up the problem issue.
That's right. Which you know, box number one that we point right. people to on the lean canvas
right.
is the problem.
Yeah.
Box number two is the target customer segments.
Yeah.
And then I say, and this is Jeff Standard speaking here, step away from the other seven boxes and go spend some real validation time quantitatively and qualitatively on those two.
Right.
I'll give you another example. Is I had a guy who's in my innovation leadership class. He's a PhD student, and he's working on a he's actually a seminary-trained minister, doesn't work in the profession today, but he is doing a religious problem that he's observed. And he called me yesterday and said, you know, I'm having a difficult time finding some credible stats that actually point to the business problem that I've outlined. He said, I can find things all around it, but I can't really find it. And I said, well, might that mean that you have your problem too broadly defined? I said, if you can't even find some credible facts and stats that suggest there's a problem, I'm not saying there's not, but I'm
it
saying
it might be a problem in your own mind.
or it's maybe the problem is so broad. And we also talk about what are the characteristics of a quality problem statement. Well, number one, that it only defines one problem and not an amalgamation of problems.
Right.
Number two, that it's actually solvable. Because a business problem that's not solvable, it's really not a business problem if you can't solve it.
Right.
It's a set of issues, perhaps. And so he said, you know, what I'm finding here is because of the validation that I'm getting from the lack of credible facts and statistics, and I've also gone on and done some customer discovery with my target customers, is I'm finding out that maybe I need to pivot my problem. And I went, well, if you want to create one that can be solved, then I would suggest you consider doing that.
That's good.
Or not create one, but identify one that can be solved.
Yeah, let's create a problem so we can build a business. Solve
it. It's like putting something on your list that you've already done so you can check it off.
Right.
Jeff, I want to jump in because this spring will be 3 years that I've been outside of UCA. So just as the INE department has evolved, have you seen some things that have changed from its onset to where it is today, either from the curriculum or what tools you guys are using, just open-ended?
Yeah, well, I've only been teaching there, I guess, I just finished my second year. But I will tell you, the bringing in of folks like a Ron Duggins, who comes from the entrepreneurial ecosystem space, he's kind of like I am. It doesn't really come from the traditional academic side of the house. And he's very practical in terms of bringing these tools to bear and actually putting students in situations, creating presentation days where they can actually present their research or their Lean Canvas ideas in front of other people. And then obviously the partnership that we have now with the conductor has been kind of a match made in heaven between, you know, a non-academic unit that's focused on entrepreneurship, but also partnering with the academic side of the house as well.
Awesome.
That's good.
Really just trying to provide some real-life opportunities there.
Well, that's some good stuff. We're going to apply it, the Lean Canvas, in our venture, like I was telling you about, and we could keep drilling down on it, but I think we got to move forward to wrapping it up. You know, the Arkansas Shrimp Tank, Jeff, is sponsored by BRS Consulting and BRS Multifamily Office Advisors, and BRS stands for Building Responsible Stewardship. And as I listen to you about the Lean Canvas and start thinking about BRS's end game of being a generous steward and leaving a lasting legacy, the question arises in my mind is, how do those correlate, you know, in terms of Lean Canvas, great business idea, it vets it, it helps it work, and then end game of somebody who is accomplishing something great through that business?
I've always said that it takes money to build churches, and it takes money to clothe the naked and feed the hungry and educate people and what have you.
Yeah.
And I find people who sometimes get sidetracked a little bit by this concept of creating a social entrepreneurship venture, a social venture where they give back. And I'm not saying that that's bad,
right.
But what I'm saying is that the real social ventures are ones that started as a social movement. I take Tacos for Life, and I love the Samuelsons. They were missionaries, and they were doing mission work, and they wanted to create, with no business experience, how to create a business so that they could fulfill their calling of feeding hungry children around the world. Mm-hmm. And so Tacos for Life started as a mission opportunity, as a stewardship opportunity, and a business grew out of that that has now become sustainable.
Right.
I see a number of other people who try to use, well, I'm going to give 10% of my profits to wounded warriors. Mm-hmm. You know, well, that's not bad, but if it's a marketing shtick,
right,
people will see through that. And so I believe that to really be a good steward of your resources, you have to build a sustainable business if you're using your business resources to do that, whether that is in my personal finances, where I minimize the use of debt and I minimize discretionary expenses, and I put money back for legacy reasons, be it to take care of myself and my family and or the ministries and missions for which I'm particularly right. called, or whether it's to create a business that allows me that. We tend to compartmentalize that, and to me right. it's one and the same.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good stuff.
Well, Jeff, once again, we want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been a great time. I know there's going to be listeners who want to find out more, and you do so many different things. I'm going to let you tell them, how would you like them to get a hold of you? Is it through the Arkansas Conductor, through UCA, through Cadron Capital?
they can never go wrong going to arconductor.org.
Okay.
arconductor.org, that's the website for the conductor. My email address is jeffs@arconductor.org. If you have a business idea, if you have an existing business, if you have a product idea or a patent or think you have a patentable idea, give us a shout. Mm-hmm. We work with folks every single day and would love nothing more than to work with some of your listeners.
That's great. Great to hear. Well, Jim, thanks again for being on the show. For our listeners, make sure to catch up on all of our post-show video wrap-ups on our YouTube channel. You'll hear kind of like the top three or four items from the podcast there. And if you want to catch our past guests, you can visit our website at arkansas.shrimptagpodcast.com, or you can subscribe through iTunes or find us on iHeartRadio. Until next week, stay safe, and remember to become a shark in the business world. We all start out as shrimp.